The following message is presented by First Baptist Church in Manny, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.fbcmany.org. Now the message.
All right, let's get started with bringing out your bulletins. Y'all grab the bulletin, put it in your left hand if you're right-handed. If you're right-handed, do that. If you're left-handed, it'd be the other way around. Hold that thing in your hand. Grab yourself a pencil or a pen there in your pew. Maybe borrow one from somebody next to you. And I want you to find an open place in that bulletin to write three categories down. Now, there's three categories. I want you to do this today. It's an interactive sermon. An interactive sermon where you're going to have some participation in what's going on, with what goes on. So what I want you to do is the first heading, I want you to write down the word bitter. Bitter, like bitterness or bitter flavor, or the word bitter. Now, the second category will be the word forgive. Forgive. Then that third category, as you're making your columns, I want you to write the word words, stepped on my toes. Okay, we're going to keep a running list today. We're going to keep a running list of what happens in this scripture. I almost included a fourth category, people I am mad at. And then I thought somebody might look over your shoulder and see who that is and find out your secret of who you're mad at right now, who you're holding a grudge against. This passage of scripture we're looking at in Hebrews is a continuation of this process of the writer of Hebrews telling people what it's like to live in faith following Jesus in the midst of controversy and attack and personal affront and persecution. So we know that we went through chapter 11. If you've been here, you saw that we went through chapter 11. We saw these great examples of the faith, these people that lived in faith in a way that they gave an example to us and how to live today. And then we get to chapter 12, and chapter 12 says, in view of all of this, these great people that we've just got through talking about, and this long teaching about what it means that Jesus is greater than all things, in view of all of that, we want you to get rid of, to shed off the things that are holding you back in your walk with the Lord. And then the last week's section, we talked about what it meant to be disciplined. Last week might have hurt your feelings too, so you might be mad at me. I might be in that fourth category. He disciplines those that he needs to be strong in him, which is all of us. All of us. We go through times of discipline. And then we branch right out of that into a passage that talks about what that responsibility is with each other and how we respond to each other. Now, in 2018, there was a fire in British Columbia. And that fire it's in the far northwest region. And the firefighters worked on that for a long time to get the fire put out. The forest had blazed up and the fires were put out and there's just smoldering left. And in the time that it was left smoldering, some things happened that you might be aware of that happens in forests when there's a big fire. The roots had caught on fire underneath the ground. And in that peat moss ground that was there, that was oxygen rich, rich enough that the fire could continue, the fires smoldered all through the winter. They smoldered and they would burn, and you could actually walk along with a thermal camera and you could find a spot that was still on fire under the ground. So that was the situation that they were in. What they didn't know is that the fires were so fierce underground in some of the places that large pits had burned out where you could be walking along and fall into a pit of fire. A lot of things there that were traps that you could easily get caught in. This fire spread 2 miles out around that fire. It started one place, it just kept on spreading, and then in the spring it began to flame up in other locations. I don't know if you've ever gotten in trouble with somebody that's in your family, somebody you're close to, something that they were mad about. They were mad, they expressed their anger in the moment, but they're really mad about something else that happened a long time ago. That ever happened to you? You ever got that way yourself? You're mad about something, you're keeping it repressed, it's way down in there, and all of a sudden the flames get fanned by some circumstance that just happened in your life, and boom, you've got a fire right there in your household. Somebody's mad at you. That's what was happening in these wildfires. It blazed up again in the spring. That's what happens to a church, by the way. It's what happens to a family, by the way. Is there things that happen that that people get their feelings hurt, they get crossways with somebody, something happens and pats that fire down just a little bit, but deep down inside there's still a little flame burning. I want you to keep that image in your head as we look into the scripture and help apply that, this word, to your life personally. So we're going to go to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. Start with verse 14. And we're going to spend a little time before we get to bitter. By the way, I just gave you one checkpoint. Check off bitter on your list. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and be holy. That means go out of your way to make peace with other people, with the people that are in your family, the people that are in this church, maybe the people in your Sunday school, somebody you got crossways with. Seek the opportunity to get things right with those people. There's a reason to do that. We're going to get to the reason in just a minute. But I want us to look at a companion passage. This companion passage in Romans chapter 12, verse 18. I don't have that on the screen, so you'll need to get your Bible. Write down in your notes, Romans 12. Romans 12. Starting with verse 18. You'll see Paul addresses this issue to the church in Rome, and he's speaking specifically about this principle. He says, if it's possible, work at this. Look for a way. Find a way. Make it possible. As far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Now, this is about personal responsibility to seek out peace with the people that you have been in conflict with. It is you looking for an opportunity to make things right, to get things together, to make sure there's forgiveness. Verse 19. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it's written, it's mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. I heard one writer say this about this passage. He said that there are two things that God tells you specifically that belong to Him. And one's His glory. One is His glory. The glory of God belongs to God. We're not to take that from God. Matter of fact, when I was reading this passage this week, I got a little convicted about Facebook posts. Because when you post, this is a thing going on around the country. You've seen them on my page, if you watch my pages. Posts of these great big worship services happening someplace. And we had one this week. I was down at LSU Thursday night. I went to Tulane and spoke at 7 o'clock, left there and went to Tulane. I mean, went to LSU to the service that was up there and caught the end of that. There was a great big worship service. There about 700-800 students showed up to the theater there on campus, and it was beautiful, and people were taking pictures everywhere. There's plenty. There's no shortage of pictures of that event. People on their knees with their hands up, students with a hand up like this, singing, and a speaker speaking, and crowds walking into crowds in the hallways, smiling and laughing, and people were snapping up the pictures, and they were sharing them on social media. And the danger is that someone is sharing that event and what happened just to get likes, just to get clicks, to get attention. When that glory of that event, what happened there at that event, belongs to God alone. Doesn't belong to anyone else. Belongs to the Lord. Now, I like the fact that this is, okay, get ready for your step on toes category. I like the fact that we do patriotic things here. I like it a lot. I grew up with that. I stood up every day before class started when I was a little boy, and we sang said the Pledge of Allegiance, and it's kind of burned down in my heart. That brings back good memories. It's a good thing. But we can't give America glory over God. We can't do that. He's the one that solely is worthy of the glory. So that's why, and I know that's not the case. That's why I said I like it. We give God the glory. But we also give God the opportunity. We give Him the right, we give Him the authority to take vengeance out on people that harm His children. We don't do it ourselves. We don't do it ourselves. It belongs to Him. I had a telling moment when I was pretty young coaching Little League. And actually, I was in the school system. I was allowed to coach in the school system. And me and my assistant coach was standing by first base talking about something. And our guys were about to get up to bat. The other crowd was berating individual players on our team. And we were substantially better as a baseball team. We were good. The team was good. So we were doing pretty well in the game. But parents were yelling at 12-year-olds, calling them names, making fun of them, doing all kinds of things that, you know, makes you a little bit mad, makes you a little bit irritated. I walked over to that assistant coach, and we were doing well, and I said, "You want me to run the score up on them and punish them?" And he said, "No, life has punished those people enough. Let that take care of itself." That was a good lesson. That was a biblical lesson from a non-biblical person. He was saying to me, it's a bigger picture than you're looking at right now. You're caught up in the emotions of the moment. Just let this play out. It'll be fine. It'll be okay. When you have a situation with a broken relationship where someone has wronged you, it is up to God to take care of it. It's up to Him. What that does, that takes all the pain off of you. All the worry is off of you. All the hurt is off of you. It's on the Lord. It's His job to deal with that, and it should give you peace. I've been thinking about offense all week long, getting ready for today. What kind of offenses could have happened to you? There's three things, three little categories I want to put them in. One is, it really was real. It really was a real offense. Something did something that hurt you or hurt a family member or caused you pain, and it really did happen. That gets people mad. That hurts their feelings, and that makes them have anger well up in them and gets them bitter in their spirit. That was another one by the way. Check it off. Bitter, in their bitter category. So there's some that are real. And there are some where you were just a little too sensitive. You're a little too sensitive. Thin-skinned. They didn't intend it to be a slight, but it was a slight to you. It hurt your feelings. I'm not saying that's not a real category. I gave it as a category. That really does happen. Somebody did something that was insensitive and they don't even know they did it, but they hurt you and you're hanging on to it, and you hung on to it, and you said some things about them, and before you know it, you got a whole big thing going on. Then there's third category. The third category is a perceived slight. A perceived slight. They did nothing wrong. They did nothing wrong. It's all on you. It's all on you. You want to blame them, but it's all on you. Because you're the one that's got your heart wrong, and you're the one that's got your a little bit mad for no reason. Verse 19, Romans 12, do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it's mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. And then chapter 20 just kind of verse 20 turns it on its head. And he says, on the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. So instead of cursing, what do? You bless. Instead of cursings, give blessings. Love your enemy. When they're hungry, feed them. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. And when you do this, and here's that passage that a lot of us hold on to, if you know this piece of scripture, When you do these things that are nice and kind and forgiving, it heaps burning coals on their head. I can see it right now. Somebody with the wrong heart and the right information, this is how they deal with this. You get the right, you know this. But your heart says, oh, dear Lord, please heap burning coals on their head. And let me see it. We know that's wrong. We know that's wrong. Scripture says it's His business, and He does that. And He gives us one more line to underline. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That keeps you safe. That keeps you in a state of forgiveness. Because you let God do His business and not you do the business for Him. Now go back to Hebrews 12. We see that companion piece from Romans. The writer of Hebrews says, strive for peace with everyone and for holiness. You achieve this, by the way. There's a couple of states of holiness. That state of holiness that comes on you because Jesus is the only reason you have holiness. And then you have holy living. Two different categories. The state and being of holy and holy living. And for that holiness without which no one will see the Lord. So people see God in you, in this body, because you're living with a forgiving spirit. You're living with a forgiving spirit. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God. This verse, this two little verses, is two verses that are full of t-shirt verses, t-shirt statements. Something you could put on a plaque on a wall. You could go just a little section, that's a t-shirt. This little section, that's a t-shirt. This is a plaque. This one right here is one that we need to put on a shirt, wear it around everywhere. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God. You've received the grace of God and don't deserve it. God has given you salvation through Jesus Christ, not by works, but completely by grace and that gift of God. You've received that. Who are we not to extend that grace to somebody that has wronged us? We need to be a person that doesn't fail to exhibit the grace of God. And then here we get the verse about bitterness. That no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble. Now, I hope when I said that, read that verse, that you had that fire flame up in your mind. That fire that started somewhere else and it's flamed up in the moment. No root of bitterness springs up and causes you trouble. And by it, many become defiled. Now, I hope you don't miss that last little section of that sentence that says, many become defiled. Bitterness is contagious. Bitterness is contagious. When people act a way that is angry, that is grouchy, that is spiteful, it catches on with other people, and the attitude spreads. I learned something really young as a supervisor. Someone said to me, an older man said to me, your ministry will reflect your personality and your skill sets and your passion and your holiness. So he even gave a number. He said, in 2 to 3 years, we can look at this ministry, and it will be a reflection of the kind of leader you are. Now that's pretty daunting when it comes on you. You know that you're responsible for so many lives. And I want to say to you, your Sunday school class will reflect the personality and the amount of time and the amount of care and the amount of sincerity that you channel into that. The person that you are will be reflected in the people that come sit in those chairs in your Sunday school class every week. It catches. So if you sit around and you're bitter, it's going to catch. I could make a phone call right now. There's some people I could call, and within 10 minutes in the conversation, they're going to tell me what's wrong with somebody. It's just got them ate up. They're ate up with it. They're ate up with anger and bitterness about what somebody did somewhere, and most of the time it's in a church. Because my people are church people. They'll tell me some story. And then they'll also morph into a little story that tells me about how mad they got about that particular incident that happened. And they're still hanging on to that. It's still flaming up in their life. I heard one man talk about this passage. He said that people will begin to reject you and avoid you if you are a spreader of bitterness. If you found yourself isolated, you don't have friends, you have people that don't want to be around you, that don't talk to you, that it's because you're spreading bitterness, unhappiness, stress. People are drawn to, believers are drawn to holiness, to be like Jesus. So I want to look at a couple of things that happen, what bitterness does. By the way, this passage, this reference, is from Deuteronomy 29:18. Deuteronomy 29:18 says this: make sure there's no man or woman, clan or tribe among you today whose hearts turn away from the Lord our God and go and worship the gods of those nations. Make sure there is no root among you that produces such bitter poison. That contagious, bitter, ungodly root. Make sure there's none. Make sure there's none. I want to give you four ways a bitter person leads a church astray. Four ways a bitter church leads the church away. Number one is they spread division through gossip and slander. They spread division through gossip and slander. They say things to defend their position, to make their case for the anger that they're holding on to. I'm going to say something to you, tell you a little secret, make sure you know about this situation, to paint this other person in a bad light so it raises me up in a better light. You may be guilty of that, but I know you know someone else that's guilty of that. We see them all the time. Someone that has painted someone else in a worse light and they slander the other person. This heart often expresses itself through negative speech. It can manifest in gossip and criticism. Sometimes it's masked as constructive criticism or slander, which sows discord among believers. Proverbs 16:28 says this: a perverse person stirs up conflict, and a gossip separates close friends. That is how bitterness spreads in the church. Just talking too much, saying too much, telling tales out of school. That causes people to stray. Number two is they undermine God's ordained leadership. Undermine God's ordained leadership. You know, this would be a time that if I had not disciplined myself this morning not to do it, that I could call out some names in the past. People that got mad because they didn't get what they wanted. And they didn't get what they wanted, so they undermined the pastor. They undermined the deacons. They undermined some committee. They undermined something because they didn't get what they wanted. God placed that person into power or into authority in that business or church, and yet they tried to undermine them because they were spreading bitterness. This is about Korah's rebellion in Numbers 16:3. It says, they said, you have gone too far. The whole community is holy, every one of them, and the Lord's with them. Don't rebel. The Lord's with them. Don't step out of turn. God is doing this work. You know, I want to take just a minute to go to the book of James. You'll turn with me to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, 1 through 2. I'm reading this from the ESV. This version is the ESV. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and can't obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. James is saying this to those people, the very same kind of people that we're talking about in Hebrews. James is saying to them, the reason you're fighting is because you didn't get your way. There's fights and quarrels among you because your way is elevated above God's way. You didn't get what you needed, what you perceived that you needed. That caused you to be bitter. Third way a bitter person leads a church astray is promoting a works-based or legalistic spirit. A works-based or legalistic spirit. What that means is it's a way of setting a metric that you measure someone else by, and you're saying this is how you ought to act. It may not be a scriptural metric. It may be your, by the way, it took me a while to get used to that word. What I'm saying is you have these standards that are sometimes based in scripture and sometimes arbitrary. And if people don't fill those, that expectation, then you judge them and tell them they're not what they need to be in God. Danny and I got in a discussion walking in the back door back there, and where's he at? I want to wave to him right quick, give him credit for this. What we were talking about, both of us today, I'm going today, going to set up for the pastor, state pastor's conference and the annual Baptist, Louisiana Baptist Convention. And I've got a booth I'm setting up, I'm getting things ready, and every year I worry about that question, Danny, every year. My staff asked me this, and I've got to make coffee for about 800 people for 2 days in a row, serving them donuts, and I'm not going to wear a suit. I'm not going to wear one. I am going to wear a blazer. I'm going to wear dress pants because there's somebody there expects me to wear a blazer and dress pants. Now, that's kind of arbitrary, isn't it? It's kind of arbitrary. So what do we wear? Well, I'm wearing the same thing I'm wearing today. I'm just going to change shirts. That's my Tuesday. That's my Monday wear. Tuesday, I'm going to wear a blazer because they're going to vote on things. And that's when I act respectful. But those are arbitrary. Church people, we're ate up with arbitrary. What's really important is your heart and your heart for Jesus and that God is glorified and this all belongs to Him. That's what matters the most. The rest of that's just window dressing. This bitter person sets up his legalistic system, tries to use that to control people, distorts the gospel, puts a burden, an undue burden on other people. That's what a person that's leading the church astray will do. Fourth thing. A bitter person that is catching will discourage spiritual growth and joy in the church. When something good is happening, they're looking for an opportunity to throw a wet blanket over what's happening. They want to tell you some reason that it's not right, some reason it's not good. This person saps the joy and hope and passion of others. For years I used the phrase emotional vampire to describe this person. They're looking for a chance to suck the life out of you. To just drag on your emotions and drag you down and tell you what's wrong with everything. Philippians 2:14 says, do everything without grumbling or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure. We're given instructions. We're given instructions by the word. The Apostle Paul says, just stop grumbling. Stop arguing. Just do things with a holy heart and with joy. So what do we do as the church? Y'all remember back Hebrews, he said to us, consider all the ways that you may stimulate one another to love and good deeds. That's about 2 months ago, that passage. These are some things we can do. We can pursue peace and holiness. We actively seek out the opportunity to make peace with other people. We look for those things that are broken. That's going to take us being a little self-aware. If we have a relationship in the past that was strong and suddenly it's, something happened and we've been distant from them and maybe they don't come to church anymore, maybe they don't show up at Christmas holidays at your house anymore, maybe, and that is an opportunity to seek peace. A person that has that you have a broken relationship is a person that you need to seek out and repair the relationship with. It's strive for. Holiness is not optional. It's an evidence of your salvation. You're going to want to make things right if you're walking with Jesus. You're going to want to. You're not going to purposely do all these things that we read. I had those 4 points about. Here's the next thing. Address the roots. Address the roots, not just the fruit. There is something that has caused that conflict between you, and you address that. You don't address that aggressively and angrily. You address that with love and redemption and mind. Like, I want to repair that relationship with you, not because I want to be liked by you, not because I want to feel better, not to get you back in church, but because you are my brother, you are my sister in Christ, and I want to be restored and reconciled to you because we are to live this life together. That's what this is teaching. We're to seek out that. And there's something often that causes that that's deeper than you see on the surface. You may not be skilled at figuring out what is going on at the bottom of this, in the roots of a problem with someone in your life. So just ask somebody to help you. Ask somebody that's non-biased, what can I do to fix this relationship? Is there anything that can be done? I wrote down, pastoral care must dig deep beneath the surface to expose and heal the root. I mean, it's my job to help you find that. You got a broken relationship with someone, you want to fix that? Let's talk about it. It may not have to be me. It could be anybody. It could be your best friend. It could be a deacon. It could be your Sunday school teacher. It could be someone in this church that's walking with Jesus. But seek out help and help find out what that root is. Something else we can do. Third thing we do is guard against the power that corrupts. By the way, this is one of the mistakes I made. This may be what you were talking about. When I write these things down, I write them in stream of thought. My voice text. So my voice text got here. What in your context? There are situations where influence is being used in ungodly ways. Influence is being used in an ungodly way. There are things that happen in my world where people try to wield power, and they're trying to wield power in an ungodly way, in a way that they can get what they want. And they're trying to do things that may not be what God's will is for the church or for one of my campuses or whatever it might be. I need to guard against that being set up as acceptable in the church. I have to be careful with this too. We were talking earlier about there's a certain age you reach where your influence and your abilities and your skills and your walk with God merges really into a pinnacle, and you have impact in the kingdom. You're older, if you're a senior adult, God bless you, because God has given you some blessing. He's given you some knowledge. He's given you some years. He's given you some authority. He's given you some strength. He's given you some power, some influence. And it's most important for people like us, and I'm putting myself in your category, when we've been given that level of influence, to use it 100% for God's glory and not for our own. We just give God the honor. We give God the power. We give God all the allegiance. He's the one makes it happen. We talked about this a little bit too. The good news is as your influence goes up, your energy goes down, so you can't hurt too many people. Now here's the biggest what to do. Watch over each other. Watch over each other. You can see a rift happening with someone else before you're going to see a rift happening with you. You see this thing going on. Something happened in the church. A couple of people in a Sunday school class got mad at each other over cake or whatever it might be. And that something's going on. You see it, and it's going to branch out into something. Help it. Help it. Fix it. Don't participate in the divisive talk about whatever happened. Don't be a participant in that. Help it. You got to be vigilant in grace. You got to be vigilant in doctrine, but not just doctrine, but in grace. And if you see a sign of bitterness, you need to jump on it. Jump on it. First thing you do is you pray. First thing you do, always, in a situation where there is contention, you have to pray first. You say, God, this is bigger than me, but you've made me aware of it. I don't have any ability to repair that relationship between those two people, except that the Holy Spirit in me can be used to influence them as an agent of healing. So you pray. Second thing you do is talk to the person you won't need to talk to. And then you pray again with them. And then you just make yourself available to help be a healer, to help be a reconciler. We have been given, if you go back to Corinthians, you can see this, we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. So the writer of Hebrews is saying to these people, in order to keep holy, by the way, in the next verse, you know what it is? It's about sexual immorality. And in the church, forever, we put sexual immorality at the top of the list and not getting along with each other down at the bottom of the list. But it's the other way around in this list. He's saying, get it right between each other because you're fighting a battle against the enemy. And the last thing you need to be doing is fighting a battle with your teammates, with your brothers and sisters in Christ. So get it right. And holiness is a community effort. It's not just about you, it's about all of us. Get it all together. So now get out your list, look at your list, and I know because I read this sermon a couple of times that you heard the word bitter about 4-1 over the word forgive. It's going to be about 4-1. And then that third category, stepped on my toes, is 100% dependent on whether you've been having trouble with somebody. You know, whether you want to admit it or not. And that fourth category with names that we weren't supposed to write down, and if you did, scratch through it real quick, you got a name. You got a name in that category. I want to go all the way back to category 2. Forgive. We're called to forgive. It's in our DNA as a follower of Jesus to be a forgiving person. He extended grace to you. You extend grace to someone else. You give forgiveness in the same overflowing way that it was given to you. Forgive. So because we're out of balance, 4-1 over here, I want you just in your head, hear me say over and over, you need to forgive. 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 I hope that got us back in balance. You need to forgive. What's interesting about that is bitterness, messed it up. Said the word. Bitterness is an emotion that turns into an act of the will. So this bitterness in your heart is this emotion that welled up in you that turned into the way you behave. Forgiveness is an act of the will that turns into an emotion. It's the other way around. You're not going to feel it right away. You may have to forgive over and over and over. And as you do that act of the will and say, God, I can't do this on my own, but I'm going to agree to it. I'm just going to forgive them. And I sure don't feel it. Don't even like them. I'm going to forgive them. And you do that once, then you do that twice, you do that three times. And by the way, with my whole big spiel about 3 or 4 months ago about how brain waves work and how you train your brain to think a certain way, let me tell you, if you are forgiving someone over and over and over and over, it will develop channels in your neural system that says, I forgive them. You will forgive them. And it'll be your heart. And then you will have joy. And then you will have peace, and then you'll be productive. And you know who else gets joy? We get it. Two people in the church not getting along, we all suffer. Two people in the church reconcile and make things right, we all rejoice. And that's how the kingdom works. And Paul or Apollos or whichever one wrote this book, he is trying to teach it to the Hebrew people. You've been fighting and squabbling over everything on Saturday. You need to start meeting on Sunday. You need to start getting things right and acting right and being the body of Christ and living the way you're supposed to live. And don't spend every ounce of your energy on this little room here. You need to get out of this room and tell people about Jesus. That's what the writer's saying. Your life beyond this room matters. But you got to get it right here first. Let's pray. Father, there may be somebody in this room right now that has in their category on the far right of their page, under the list of names, they may have a name that is sitting in this room today. Someone they're upset with, or someone that hurt their feelings, or they were slighted by, or perceived a slight by. And Father, they need to give that over to you, but they can't give it over to you because their emotions are ruling them. And Father, I pray that you'd heal those emotions. Father, you heal those hearts. You take away that pain. You take away that betrayal. You take away those things that cause them to act and think that the way that they're acting and thinking today. Father, you erase the memory of the moment that they turned against that person. And you fill that with a moment of forgiveness. And right now, in this moment, Father, we are saying names all across this room. We're saying them out to you. Father, I forgive. Fill in the blank. And Lord, I pray that you take away every ounce, every speck, every stain of bitterness in the hearts of the people that are here. And Father, there be rejoicing. Rejoicing in the kingdom because reconciliation has happened. Father, there are people in this room that are not reconciled to you. They don't have salvation. And all of this is foreign to them because they don't understand what is going on. And Father, I pray right now that their spirit is reconciled with your spirit and they give their life to Jesus. And they find complete grace and complete healing and complete forgiveness and have eternal life. And I know how these sermons go, Father. They go out on Facebook and they echo out for months and months and months. And this sermon will land on the page of someone bitter. And I pray that when it lands on that page of somebody bitter, they watch it, they listen, and they forgive and get set free. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by First Baptist Church in Manny, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, go to the website www.fbcmany.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.